Tell me something. You started performing at 4, is that correct?
Yeah, I've been singing since I was 4 years old, in the Faces back home and stuff like that. And then, like any kid does, you sing in the choirs at school. And then at 17, 18, I started playing in bars. 18, I moved to London. Then I worked with the producer, Andy Wright, for the guts of a year in London. I then worked for the BBC back home, doing music for those guys for a brief period. And then I auditioned for Celtic Thunder when I was 20. And I've been doing that ever since now. And well, last year I got signed to Verve Records, and my album got released in September of this year, so I've had a pretty busy time since I left school.
Well, if you were singing in Faces, I have to assume that you were singing in Irish, were you?
Not necessarily, no. Faces aren't all in Irish. You know, the odd songs in Irish, but the majority of it's actually in English.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised. I think that's deviating from what it should be, but nevertheless.
So, well, the majority of people don't speak Irish in Ireland, so I think that's why.
Where do you live? Do you live in Donegal?
I was raised in Donegal. The last year now I've been living in Los Angeles, but in saying that, I'm never really living anywhere at the moment. Like, I haven't been home properly for more than like a week now in about a year and a half.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, of course, because of this tour and because of your album as well, you've been pretty busy. Now, I want to ask you about both things. I want to ask you about Celtic Thunder and your album. And that would explain, because I was looking at the vocabulary that you use in your songs, and I noticed that you use American vocabulary rather than Irish. I assume that's because you live in Los Angeles.
Well, what American vocabulary are you talking about?
Mom and Dad, as opposed to Mommy
and
Daddy.
No, that's just the way I'm hardly going to sing me Mommy and me Daddy now on stage. There's not many singers that would do that, to be honest with you. I think the majority of people, the reason why you'll find that 90% of singers all have an American accent is because the majority of the planet listens to American music. Most of the great artists back in the day were all American. And if they weren't American, they also sounded American, you know. It's still the same to this day. You know, like I grew up listening to Glenn Campbell, Neil Young, Tom Waits, Harry Nilsson, Bruce Springsteen, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash. That's the music that I grew up listening to. So hence the reason why I probably sound the way I do.
Well, your father's a musician, isn't he?
Correct.
Is he a singer as well?
He sings now, not as much, but yeah, he used to sing good. But it was basically my father put me, he's exactly the same taste in music as myself.
Uh-huh. So that's where you actually got to know and love all these American artists, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, tell me then, if you're living in Los Angeles now, have you bought a house there? Are you renting?
actually, I live on a boat in LA.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds fabulous.
It is, yeah. For me, it's perfect. You know, I like to fish and surf, so when I can go out, I go out. And it's bigger than most apartments. So in LA, it's perfect. I live right on the beach.
Oh, that is...
Right in south LA.
That sounds just fabulous. It really does. Actually, what I was going to ask you about was, do you know other Northern Irish artists? Like, do you know Eilidh Patterson or Ben Glover?
No, actually, I don't really hang out with anyone from Ireland, out in LA, you know. I kind of move away from home. They meet people that aren't from Ireland. I find a lot of people from wherever they're from seem to congregate with people from their hometown. I try not to do that. When I go to a place, I try and blend them with the locals and find out what the local people do in an area around the planet. You know, LA is no different. I've traveled a lot to do. I've been to Indonesia and Morocco and France and Spain, and you know, when anywhere I go, I just try and do what the locals do. I think that's the best way to work a place out.
Oh, sure it is, and it's certainly the easiest way to live anywhere as well, you know, because once you become part of that place, you feel at home. Otherwise, you're always
Correct.
The outsider looking in.
Otherwise, exactly. You'll just always be, you'll always feel like the outsider, you know, correct?
Well, you sound remarkably mature. How old are you? You're not that old, are you?
26.
Yeah, well, you sound remarkably mature for your age. Most 26-year-old guys are kind of wonky. But anyway...
I can be as well, you know, but I've got a level head on me.
You do indeed. When I was looking up Amazon, I was looking up your record, which is eponymously titled, isn't it? It's just Keith Harkin. And there were hundreds of comments. I mean, I use Amazon a lot, and I buy a lot of CDs on Amazon, and they don't get nearly as many comments. I must say, your fans are absolutely fanatical. They're tremendously impressed by you.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so you're very, very successful. But I noticed a question. Go on.
Well, the album's doing pretty well. It's actually rated overall on Amazon at the moment. It's top rated above any other album on the Amazon website. You know, it's actually today it's the top rated album on the whole of Amazon. So I'm pretty chuffed for that. But you're right, yeah, the fans are. I mean, my fans are amazing.
They are.
But at the same time, what one thing I do know about them, they tell the truth. You know, they didn't like something they would say it to. A lot of work went into this album. I mean, it took over a year to record it. Some of the best writers on the planet are on it. There's six of the cover songs are on it. Are proven hits. David Foster is playing piano on one of the tracks. Colby Calais singing in the duet. We recorded the Harmonic Art Orchestra in London. What's the name of the studio? Abbey Road Studio in Studio One where the Beatles recorded. I mean, some of the best players on the planet are on this album, so I'm no fear in saying it. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be up there with all the rest of the albums.
Well, how did you manage that?
How did I manage what?
To get all those great people involved in this album.
Well, they obviously have faith in me.
Yeah. So you know them all?
No.
I
David
see.
Foster's the CEO of Verve Records.
Ah.
And David Foster, since he's taken over Verve, I was the very first person signed to Verve Records since he'd taken over. So David Foster signed me to his label. Jochen van der Zag, who's produced and engineered a lot of, helped co-produced and engineered a lot of the stuff that David's done in the past 5-6 years, i.e. Josh Groban, Bocelli, Celine Dion, Whitney Houston's last album, all of Michael Bublé's stuff. Jochen van der Zag produced it, and David Foster, he's overseen the whole thing. So, I mean, I've had a great team behind me, and hence the reason why I don't think there's no shock that the album's doing good, you know.
Tell me, is it selling well in Derry?
It actually hasn't been released in the UK yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. That is going to be very interesting. Well, I'm sure it's going to be enormously successful there as well.
Well, I hope so. I mean, the thing is, I have to admit, back home, everyone supports me greatly, you know, and I'm much appreciated of it. And I really do mean that. Like, they do push me back home as much as they can. So I'm sure whenever they can get it, they will get it too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even already, people have been ordering it from Amazon Canada and America and waiting 5-6 weeks for it. So I know there's support back there.
Now tell me about Celtic Thunder. You auditioned for that and you were signed to them, and I have never seen the Celtic Thunder show. I know it's coming here to San Antonio, and I know that the songs are, well, they're not all Irish songs per se, are they?
No, not necessarily speaking.
There's kind of, it's a mixture of what, Broadway numbers, and what do you tell me about it?
The majority of the songs on this tour are predominantly Irish. If they're not Irish, they're probably wrote by an Irish artist. I mean, I think people are stuck in the genre of Irish music being Fiddly Dee and the Clancy Brothers and Iron Jumpers. And not that there's anything wrong with that at all, but I think people need to understand that Irish music consists of a broader horizon and tastes and flavours in music. You know, you think of like Van Morrison, any of the old, like Thin Lizzy, they're all, to me, that's Irish music, you know, and that's the kind of stuff we aren't afraid to try all the different types of Irish music on our show, and I think that's the reason why the show has been so successful, is because it covers every genre of music, so there's something for everyone on the show.
I see. But none of the songs are in Irish, are they?
There are some songs in Irish. There's about 4 or 5 songs in Irish in the tour that we're doing at the moment, actually.
Uh-huh. And this tour, do you have to rehearse a lot for it?
Before we go out on the road, yes. I mean, there's weeks and weeks of rehearsals. But when we're on the road, no, because we're playing almost every night, you know.
Sure, that is the rehearsal, actually.
What
else do you have, dancers?
The show consists of 6 singers at the moment. We're all 6 solo artists. There's myself, Emmett, Colin, George, Ryan and Neil. We've all got completely different voices, different age groups. We all look completely different tastes in music. So I think that's the singing side they covered. We also have a full band, Barry Kears and the Pipes, Laura Durant, Nicole Hudson, with the harpist Shauna Davey, Declan O'Donoghue on drums, Seamus Brett on the keys, David Beggy on the guitar. So we have a huge band behind us, and they're all probably some of the best players from back home, you know, and they do a few numbers as well on their own. So all in all, at any given time, there can be up to 12 or 13 people on the stage.
Listen, this Celtic Thunder, Phil Coulter was involved with this, right?
Correct. Phil Coulter produced the music for the first few albums.
Then what happened?
He left.
He left or he was pushed out?
He left.
It's just I saw the, on his website. I mean, I knew Phil Coulter when he was
right
young, and I just saw on
many
his,
years ago.
Many years. Oh yes, many years ago. Of course it was. And I just noticed that he was on his website and he said, very sad news, I'll be parting. Didn't sound, sounded a reluctant parting, that's all. But you must have known Phil Coulter pretty well. You both come from the same part of the world.
I never met him before in my life until I was on Celtic Thunder. I mean, Phil doesn't live in Derry anymore. He lives in the south of, I don't know where he lives actually, way down south somewhere. So I've never actually met Phil before, no.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because...
Well, not really. I mean, Phil's a lot older than myself. You know, when I was only 20 when I auditioned for Celtic Thunder.
And sure, and he's 60-odd.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, two different, completely different genres of music and different age groups, you know.
And especially if he's not living in Derry.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But you went... What school did you go to there? St. Columb, whatever?
I went to Lumen Christi for 5 years, and then I went to St. Columb's College for my lower and upper six.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever think of doing anything other than making a career in music?
Not really. No, I've always sort of had the only interest really been in music. If I had been doing anything else, I probably would have been doing something with my hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, some creative, you know, just always what I've been into.
Well, you are immensely lucky, really. I mean, not only are you a great singer, and I must agree with you, the CD is absolutely outstanding. It's a wonderful
CD. Thank you
very much. But, you know, I mean, you were lucky enough to have a label that signed you as well. I mean, there's so many young, talented musicians that just never get anywhere, really.
Well, I agree. I mean, there is luck involved in it. And, you know, a lot of people say lucky. But the only way I can describe it is, you know, if you want to win the lottery, you have to go and buy the ticket. You know, luck isn't easily found either. You have to work very hard for it.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't always plain sailing. You know, I didn't just get handed a record deal, you know. I mean, it's taken me, I've recorded 3 albums in the past that I never released, you know. I recorded one 2 years ago, I recorded one 2 years before that. I was offered a deal a year before that. I was offered deals when I lived in London, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't because I just took the first thing I wanted either, you know. It's all, the planets aligned in the right way, you know. And it's, for me, I felt it was the right time really, just to make a move.
Oh, listen, I mean, luck has no part of it if you don't have any talent. I mean, you have to be immensely talented as well. Otherwise, it doesn't matter who you meet or what you do, you're never going to go anywhere. But still, I mean, you're playing with this group, Celtic Thunder. You've now released this CD. It's going to be an enormous success for you. And as I say, and you're only 26.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, every day I pinch myself. You know, I really do. But I just don't let it get to me. You know, I still look at it like hard work, and I always will, you know, because I enjoy it, and I enjoy making it better all the time. I enjoy writing better songs. I enjoy performing better on stage. Every single night I go on stage, I try and improve myself, you know, and I think it's only now I'm realizing that it's starting to stand to me, and it's starting to show with other people the way I'm getting work and getting signed and stuff like that. So I feel like if I can keep continuing the way I'm doing, things are just only going to get better for myself, you know.
Well, there's one burning question that seems to be, I mean, I would never have thought of asking you this question, except there seems to be enormous number of websites attached to it. Do you know what I'm going to ask you?
Yes.
What?
No, actually I don't.
Are you married?
Of course I'm not married. I've got way more sense. See, you've been interviewing me now for 20 minutes. You should get the fact I've got enough sense not to get married.
Oh, you sound like a typical Irishman. That's all I can say.
No. There's nobody. I'm not afraid of love. You know, I just haven't got time for it.
No, actually, you're totally right about that. I mean, I think you're wise not being married, because it would be a nightmare situation.
It'd be a train crash. An absolute train crash. I've hardly got time to ring my grandmother back home, never mind look after a girlfriend or a wife.
I know. You're absolutely right. No, I agree. It's just there have been so many. As I say, it's not something I would have brought up on my own. It's just when I saw, what on earth are all these people talking about? Yes, he's married. No, he's not married. Yes, he is married.
No, well, and another thing, if you look at all those websites, I do the majority of all that blogging and photographs and all that stuff myself as well on top of it. You know, too, it's another job in itself.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, of course it is. Because at the end of the day, the last thing I'm sure you feel like doing is sitting down starting to write a blog about your day.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, I think a lot of people seem to forget when you're on the road. They're like, what? I think it's all so exciting, which it is when you're on the stage, but generally nothing else really happens during the day. I mean, you wake up, you do your laundry, you have dinner, you sound check, and it's exactly the same routine every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Seldom the only time something cool might happen is if you're in a really nice city and you go away and do something, you know, but the majority of the time you're in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing really much to do, so you just sit in the venue all day and read books or do a bit of work or a bit of writing, you know. It's not as exciting, as glamorous as everyone thinks.
No, you're absolutely right. The glamour comes the minute you step on that stage and the audience starts screaming.
Correct.
Yeah, of course. And that's why you can do it, because at least you know that you're going to get that kind of feedback at the end of each day.
Yeah, it makes all the hard work worthwhile.
Well, Brian, it has been delightful talking to you. It really has. And I'm going to look forward very much to putting this... editing this interview and playing music from your CD.
And, thank you very much.
Also Celtic Thunder. And I hope you enjoy San Antonio. Have you been here before?
I have been. I've played there a few times, actually.
Have you really?
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Yeah. Well, there's no surfing, but...
Sadly enough, no. I haven't seen waves now in a few months, so I just kind of black it out of my mind whenever I'm on the road.
I know. Poor you. Yeah. Well, you have to
find... Oh, well. You know what I mean?
A wave pool somewhere. Anyway, have a great time when you're down here. The weather is fantastic. Just wonderful.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
But you're living in Los Angeles, so you're used to good weather anyway.
Yeah, Cleveland, today's the first bit of cold I've felt in a few months, so I don't really mind.
Well... Listen, once again, Keith, it's been delightful talking to you. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much. All the best.
All right. Toodaloo. Bye.
Bye-bye.